Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Brian Ward.
Hallelujah. We're online. I've got a thumbs up from Dan. That's good. Great to have the drums back this week. Yes. I mean, it's good anyway, the worship, but the drums just add something to it, don't they? Well.
We like the noise.
Some of us like the noise. I love the drums. I think they're great. Wow, what a morning to start with. You know, when, like Paul said, he doesn't know what I'm speaking on this morning, and but sometimes when you come to speak at the front and you're seeking God of what to speak on, sometimes you're asking yourself when you're going into, whether it's a topic or whatever it is you believe the Holy Spirit's saying to you, well, is it myself or is it of you, Lord? But the confidence comes as more and more you get to that relationship with God and with Christ that you start hearing the Holy Spirit. And really this morning, I really believe that the cherry on the icing is going to come right now with a message, because what we've had has really been a real build-up in baking the cake. And that time of prophetic worship that we've had this morning was just, I don't know, it's just an awesome thing to be in that presence of God, and for Pastor Paul to be able to sing that within the Spirit, you know, and singing it over Scarborough, and singing about the passion of God, the compassion of God for the people in this town. And the subject I want to speak on this morning is compassion. And I don't know, I mean, the offering bucket this morning, if it had been bigger, I wanted to jump in it, because I want to give myself, you know, I'll give everything I have to the Lord, you know what I mean? It's not whether it's a £20 note or a £200 cheque, it's my whole life, my whole being is what I want to jump into the offering bucket and say, no, I want to give it to the Lord, you know, I want to see a difference in my community. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord, hallelujah. He's great, isn't he? Are we enjoying the weather at the moment?
Yeah, I like it.
It's sort of like a second summer, isn't it? So fantastic. I was thinking, I left my notes behind, but... hey, they're in the other Bible, so we're okay. Compassion. When I looked it up in the dictionary, it talks about being sympathetic, pity, concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And I'm not much of a Greek or a scholar in the words, but I do have a Vines expository dictionary, which is quite good. And it's sometimes good to look up the words that you're speaking on, because it just gives you an understanding of where God is coming from when he's using these words in his word. And on compassion, whether I can pronounce the Greek words is a different matter. But bear with us. The verb is oiktairo, to have pity. To have pity, a feeling of distress through the ills of others, is used of God's compassion. And we see that in Romans 9. Another word is splanchnizomai, or splanchner. And it's to be moved as to one's inwards, to be moved with compassion, to yearn with compassion, is frequently recorded of Christ towards a multitude and towards individual sufferers. Sympathio, to suffer with another. Son with pasco, or pasho, to suffer, to be affected similarly. Sympathy, to have compassion upon, of compassionating those in prison, is translated to be touched with. Another word is elio, to have mercy, to show kindness by beneficence or assistance. The nouns is oiktamos, It's akin to the first word I mentioned there about God's compassion. It's used with the splanchner as well, the viscera, the inward parts. It's like a real inward compassion that you have. It's not just a word or, oh, well, I feel for that person. It affects the innermost being of who we are. And it's from this, like from the seat of your pants that you're acting out this heart of compassion, if you like, God's heart of compassion. And it's amazing because when I looked up mercy as well, because you often find compassion and mercy run alongside each other. And it's the same word, splanchner, is used for mercy as well. The same sort of thing of compassion, that his mercy is compassion. And in the Old Testament, we read a lot about God's compassion. Many times it's mentioned about the compassion. The Lord had compassion on them. We read it over and over again in the Old Testament. And it's things that tend to rob us of that compassion can be maybe our anger or things like that. Let's just turn at the moment to Isaiah. Let's go look at Isaiah 54. It's amazing. We've been looking at this passage for so long, and yet this word comes within Isaiah 54 as well. Also in Nehemiah, we see the word of compassion, God's compassion. Reading from verse 7, it says, "For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back." There's a time and time again that God seemed to abandon his people for a moment because of their sin, because of their disobedience, the times that Israel went in and out of exile. But God came back and he says, "Well, for a brief moment I abandoned you, but with a deep compassion, with a deepness within me, I bring you back. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from me for a moment." We've got to be careful that we don't allow anger to overcome the compassion that we have within Christ. We shouldn't get angry enough with each other or with those outside that we don't have any compassion for people. The times that God became angry with people was because they had no intention of following him or his ways. It was a deliberate turning away from what he wanted for them. And that's when his anger came upon them. That's when he sent them into exile. But he always comes back with a compassion for his people. "I hid my face for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer." In verse 10, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." Amen. Say, "He has compassion on me." He has compassion on me. And it's because of his compassion on us is where we are today. That's why we're here worshipping and proclaiming who he is and living our lives for him. There are many other areas in the Old Testament that we can read about God's compassion over his people. But it goes down the line. You know, Jesus also had the compassion of the Father. Let's turn to, I'm going to be reading from the truth with the New Testament scriptures, because I just believe the way Pastor Colin's written it is just so, he just brings it out in a different light, really. Matthew, starting with Matthew 9 and verse 35 to verse 38. And it says, "Jesus traveled through every town and village, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven, and healing people from every disease and sickness. Whenever he saw the crowds that gathered, he had compassion on them." He felt something for the people because they weren't in the place where he wanted them to be. They weren't in that place of salvation. They weren't in that place of following him. And so he has this compassion over them because he sees they're going off in a different area, in a different way. and yet they're still wanting to follow him. So that's why he has this compassion upon them. They seemed to be helpless to deal with the things that afflicted them. They were like sheep who had no one to shepherd them and care for them. He said to his disciples, "There is plentiful harvest waiting to be reaped, but so few workers. So pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into the harvest field." And it's no different to our town today in Scarborough. It's no different that there's a people out there that have got no shepherd to shepherd them, that they're scurrying about doing their own thing, and yet the lost waiting to be taken in and saying, "Listen, I was proclaiming this morning in that prophetic song, Lord, here I am, send me." And that should be the cry of every single believer in the church of today. Send me. What can I do to make a difference in someone else's life? I'm the shepherd to that person. And we need that compassion of Christ within us to see that the lost out there aren't just the drunks and the drug addicts and the people that have had a bad upbringing, but the people that God has created and who wants a relationship with them, and that is crying out, "Do you not feel my compassion? My people, have you not got a compassion for them as I have a compassion for them?" He noticed that they were like sheep who had no shepherd. And that's the same today as we look out over our town of Scarborough, wherever we live, wherever we're from today, your town, your village, your neighbourhood, is you know, there's people there like a sheep without a shepherd. And it goes on to say, although the harvest is waiting to be reaped, but there's so few workers. I'll take my heart off to Jimmy, and I'll bless you, Jimmy, you know, and I'll pray God will continue to see a great harvest coming in for you, for the work that you're doing. Giving up your time and going out with the newspapers, even when he's doing his own business work, he's being able to just have that communication with people and to witness. And it's sometimes that when we've done our day's work, we need to have that extra bit of energy to go the extra mile, to have that compassion on the people we're looking at, to do something extra for them. You know, an evangelist, where you have the fivefold ministry and you have the evangelist within the church, it's not his job alone to go and bring in the harvest. He's there to equip the church, the body, to send them out to go and bring in the harvest. So don't think you're waiting for somebody else. You're waiting for yourself to do something with the compassion of Christ within you to say, "Hang on a minute, who can I touch? Who can I reach? Who can I bring to the Alpha course? Because I have a compassion and want to see that person saved. I want to have compassion to see their lives changed around as my life's been changed." So yeah, compassion on them. They seem to be helpless to deal with the things that afflicted them. A compassion. Sheep without a shepherd. Let's have a look at, go on to Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Yes, there's a familiar story to all of us. I'm sure that those have read it. When the apostles returned to Jesus, they told him what they had taught and the things they had done. As usual, many people were coming and going so that Jesus and the disciples did not have time to even eat. Just think about that. How long is it since we've not had time to sit down and have a meal because we're so busy with the compassion for a people that are lost? So Jesus said to them, "Look, let's come with me by yourselves. We'll go somewhere quiet together to rest." How often is it that you think, "Yeah, great, I'm going to be on holiday for 2 weeks," and then nothing but the phone keeps ringing? And the same with Jesus and his disciples here. "Look, let's go somewhere. We've had a real busy day. We haven't even had time to eat anything. Let's just get away by ourselves. Let's take time out and let's have something to eat." So they jump in the boat and think, "Well, great, we'll go across the other side, away from all this crowd." Unfortunately, the crowd saw where they were going to, and by the time the boat had got across, I don't know what boat they were in, I don't know, it's obviously not a speedboat from the harbour, but By the time they rowed across the lake, the crowd were already there waiting for them again. And again, it's that compassion that Christ has for them. So Jesus and the 12 went by boat and headed for a lonely place. However, many in the crowd saw them leave and ran around the edge of the lake to arrive before they did. They came from all the towns in the area. Imagine if they're coming from Whitby and Scarborough and Driffield and, you know, that they all come to hear the gospel news. There's something of us as a church that people are flocking to us because they want something that you and I have got. Come on, Lord. Eh? Doesn't this stir us to say, come on? There's a compassion. That's that compassion within us gives us, yeah, I want to see people saved. I want to see people turning around. Bring them in from the north and the south and the west and the east. When they came in, what's my place? Yeah, however, many in the crowd saw them leave. They ran around the other side. When Jesus landed, there was already a large crowd awaiting him. Seeing them, his heart went out to them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. Again, we just read in the first passage this morning, sheep without a shepherd. How many sheep have we got out there that are without a shepherd? How many sheep within your neighborhood are without a shepherd? Jesus, thank you, Lord. So Jesus and the 12, seeing them, his heart went out to them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd to care for them. Moved with this compassion, he taught them many truths. He taught them many truths. Teaching is a great thing. I know Nigel is going away to Kenya next week, is it, Nigel? Tuesday. To go and teach to a nation over there. I think there's a group of four or five of you going to a Way of the Spirit teaching course or a teaching, just teaching the people across there. And why is that? It's to equip the nations, the people groups. By now it was getting late. This is after he'd already been somewhere, he'd come across a lake to get away from it all, to have something to eat, and now he'd just been teaching all these people from all these different towns that had come to follow him. Can you imagine how weary he must have been at the time? But then he goes the extra mile. He says, by now it's getting late, so his disciples came to Jesus and said, this is much a remote place and is now very late. Why not send the people away so they can find something to eat in the villages and the surrounding area? You know, be honest with ourselves. You know, how many times have we felt like that, you know? Oh, well, let's just leave them alone and someone else will look after them. But what's the compassion of Christ? He says, no, you give them something to eat yourselves. Don't leave it to the pastor. All right? Don't leave it to Pastor Paul and Pastor Kate. You, us as a body, let us give each other something to eat. Why do we have to run to Pastor Paul or Pastor Kate all the time when we can encourage one another, when we can have compassion for one another? You give them something to eat yourselves, replied Jesus. That would require a vast amount of money, at least a man's wage for many months. It goes on. Everyone ate, verse 42, 43. Everyone ate as much as he or she wanted before the disciples collected the remaining pieces of bread and fish, filling 12 baskets. The number of men alone who had eaten was 5,000. Then Jesus told the disciples to return to the boat at once and go ahead of him to Bethsaida while he sent the crowd of people away. He didn't say, right, I'm really shattered, guys. You know, can you just send the crowd away while I go and have time with the Father? No, no, he says, hang on a minute. You disciples, you just go off in the boat across to Bethsaida and I'll meet you later and I'll send the crowds away. Why? Because he has a compassion for these people that have got no shepherd. He has a compassion for these people that had nothing to eat and yet were willing to follow him all around the lake to get teaching and to get something of who he was. And that's something that who he was is that something of who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's something that people want to come over and see for us, saying, hang on a minute, there's something in Adrian that I want because I've seen something of Christ in him. And that goes for each and every one that's sat here, that's sat in the heavenlies, that is something that should be reflecting from our lifestyle, from the way we walk with Christ Jesus, the way we live daily, to say for a person outside of the kingdom, to say to the lost sheep, hang on a minute, there's something I want. I'm going to run after that because I'm looking for it. There's something I need. I'm lost. I'm desperate. And I see something over there in the church of today. But we're only going to get that because we have a compassion for the people within our town, within our areas. The compassion of Christ that made him to move. It's not a compassion of sympathy in a way that, oh, they're there now. It's a compassion that made Jesus do something about it. It gives them a compassion of action. It gives them a compassion to say, no, hang on a minute. I'm going to go the extra mile. Although I'm tired, I'm going to teach them. Although my disciples are here, you go away and I'll send the crowd away. And we need to get that compassion, church. Because we need each other. We need the body to be active in the things that are planned for this town of Scarborough. Compassion helps feed people. Compassion helps to let people have a shepherd and to bring them in from a place that they're lost. Another one, let's have a look at, what was that, Mark 6 we just heard. Let's look at Mark 8, another one about feeding, about the hungry. There are so many people hungry today that they're searching for things. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. This isn't the feeding of the 5,000, it's feeding of the 4,000. It says, during his time there, another large crowd gathered and had nothing to eat. Jesus gathered his disciples around him and said, I feel great compassion for all these people. For 3 days they have been here with me without anything to eat. You know, we moan if we miss a meal in a day, let alone 3 days, because we're searching for something. We're so desperate for something. I'm not interested in food. I'm not interested in the other things of the natural. There's something more that I want. And that's something that Christ can give me. That's something the church should be giving me. I feel great compassion for all these people. For 3 days they've been here with me without anything to eat. There's a desire from the people within the town that they're looking for something. If I send them away now, they will collapse on the way home for lack of nourishment, for some have travelled far to be here. But where, in a remote place like this, could we buy enough bread to feed them? His disciples asked. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked them. 7, they replied. Telling the people to sit on the ground, Jesus then took the 7 loaves and gave thanks to God over them. He broke them and gave the pieces to the disciples to distribute among the people. They also had a few small fish. Jesus gave thanks for them and told the disciples to share them out among the people. Everyone ate as much as he wanted. Then the disciples filled 7 baskets with the remaining pieces. About 4,000 men were present and had been fed. Why? Because Christ had compassion. That he didn't want to send them away hungry. Physically or spiritually. We need compassion, church, to feed the hungry. We need that deep compassion that's going to motivate us and get us off our little purple seats in this place and to go out and do seek the things that God has called for us to do. Maybe it's out of our comfort zone, that's all the better. Because then it's not coming from your strength, it's coming from the Spirit within us that empowers us to give the right food and the right nourishment and the right things that people need in their lives. And the wisdom, the godly wisdom, not man wisdom. So what else does God's compassion, the compassion of Christ do? Let's have a look at Matthew 20, verse 34. Let's read from verse 29. Matthew 20, verse 29. A large crowd followed Jesus as he and his disciples left Jericho. Sitting on the roadside were two blind men who shouted out as Jesus passed, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Those around them rebuked them, telling them to be quiet. But this made them even more determined, so they shouted more loudly, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy upon us." Hearing them, Jesus stopped and called them forward. "What is it that you want me to do for you?" he asked them. "Lord, we want our sight to be restored," they answered. With compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and they were healed. We need a compassion for the sick to see them healed. It's not a matter of just speaking a word over them, "I'll be healed in the name of..." Where's the compassion to see someone that's wanting something from Christ or wanting to be healed miraculously? That we say, with that compassion within me, "Let your eyes be opened." I don't know what it's like to be blind. I've never been blind. But I've been able to have the honour for Christ to be part of three of us that have been able to pray for a woman who was blind from birth to see her eyes opened, that she'd never seen her kids. You know, we were on the Healing on the Beach last Sunday. I don't know if many of you heard about Healing on the Beach. It's a Churches Together initiative. John and Jan Wells head it up, and Sam Foster. And there's a group of people that are wanting to see the healing power of Christ come to the streets of Scarborough. Because we're close to the beach, we decided in most places around the country it's called Healing on the Streets. Because we're near the seaside, Sam believed that God was saying it's got to be Healing on the Beach. And so once a month at the moment, they're looking at increasing it. There's a team of about half a dozen or eight or nine that have a compassion of wanting to see people healed in this town of Scarborough, go out on a Sunday afternoon down by the Sands complex just on the opposite side of the road, and we fly the banner. And last Sunday we had five people there, and one of the groups said afterwards, after we prayed for these five people for their healing, one of the group, he was saying, I just want to see that woman get out of that wheelchair, and I just want to see that happening in the town of Scarborough. And that is the compassion of Christ within that man and within the people that wanted to see people released out of wheelchairs and to be healed of whatever debilitating disease or infirmity they have. And that's the compassion that man has. But we've got to have wisdom to go alongside it. Because some people are quite happy to stay in the wheelchair because they're on, government expenses and things like that, and they're quite comfortable that they don't want to be healed. Or people have accepted the way they are. Even as Christians, you still see people in wheelchairs because they're quite happy to be in that place of a place of witness to others. But it doesn't stop the compassion within us of saying, "Lord, set those people free. I want to see that person out of that wheelchair." But sometimes you need the word of God to say, "Well, I want to see, go and get that person out of that wheelchair now." But we need that compassion, first of all, to see people healed. Those around them rebuked them, telling them to be quiet. But this made them even more determined. More compassionate for them. They shouted more loudly, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Sorry, that was a people saying. The blind men were saying, "Lord, Son of David." There's an urgency in the people as well that want to be healed. That's where the compassion comes from, because they're seeing people that have maybe spent all their lifetime trying to get healed of something. They've spent all the money that they've gone from one doctor to another place, to a hospital. They haven't got the healing. And now they say, "Hang on a minute, there's someone who's greater than this. And that's the greatest physician of all, and that's Jesus Christ himself." So there's a desire in the people as well that want to be healed. Hearing them, Jesus stopped and called them forward. "What is it that you want me to do for you?" he asked them. "Lord, we want our sight to be restored," they answered. with compassion, Jesus touched her eyes. I just see that in the Spirit. Lord, oh, what compassion he had. He heard them crying. Lord, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon us. And he opened their eyes and they followed him. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. See, compassion, it brings healing. Compassion, it brings feeding of the lambs. Compassion brings shepherding to people that are lost. Compassion brings, you know, all these things of what God has for us, for these people within our town and local area. On one occasion, a leper came to him. He fell to his knees and pleaded with Jesus, If you want to, you can make me clean. If you want to, you can make me clean. This is a cry of someone who's wanting to be clean from the things of the world, from his leprosy. Jesus was immediately filled with compassion for the man. He reached out his hand, he touched him and said, "Of course I want to heal you." Of course he wants to heal him. He had compassion because he just saw something in this man, in this leper, that was wanting to be cleansed from the things, from this leprosy, from this disease. But there's people out there that have got leprosy in a spiritual way. They've got things of the world hanging on them, that they just want to be cleansed of it all. And that we need that compassion for them to say, yeah, hang on a minute. We need that compassion to say, yeah, come along to an Alpha. Come along to this. Draw alongside them. The word of his testimony. The blood of the Lamb. Because we have compassion for people. So it's compassion for healing, it's compassion for feeding, it's compassion for the lost. I remember at Faith Camp, just a few weeks ago we were there, wasn't it? Seems ages ago now. But we were at Faith Camp and I was on the stand in the atrium. And these two gentlemen came up to me and... They're talking to me and they say, we want to see Pastor Colin so he can pray with us. I think, that's a bit arrogant, isn't it? You know, a couple of campers who's come up and want to see the top man, you know. And he's not an easy man to get hold of. You know, if you go to the meeting, then maybe you can see him after the meeting and he'll see you. And they says, can't you get him to see us, you know? I was thinking, why did it have to be on that afternoon on the stand in the atrium? But it's just God doing something in me about compassion for people. And they explained to me that they'd phoned Pastor Colin 2 weeks earlier and spoken to him personally. And I was thinking, wow, man, there's not many people that get through to Pastor Colin's telephone and able to speak to him personally. You know, there's things going around in my head in the natural thing. Well, you know, it could be any two campers that just want to see the top man, you know. And so I went, Pastor Paul and was sitting across having a coffee with Pastor Warren Evans. And I went to see Pastor Paul, you know, to get his advice and his wisdom. And he says, go and see Pastor Clive, who's in a leaders' meeting next door. And just approach Pastor Clive and see if Pastor Colin will see him, you know. So I went, and by the time I was in there, these two men had come again to me saying, look, we haven't got long. I was saying, you haven't got long. You want Pastor Colin to pray for you, and you haven't got long, you know. I thought, dear me. And I said, right, I'll try and be 10 minutes. So I went round, and there's Pastor Clive, and he's speaking to the band, you know, for the worship for that night, you know. And I'm sort of like pacing up and down, you know, come on, they haven't got long, you know. And so like 15 minutes later, they all disperse, and Pastor Clive's there. I said, look, Pastor Clive, I said, I've got this man's name. And he apparently spoken to your dad about 2 weeks ago. And that he wants him to pray for him, you know. And Pastor Clive said, well, bring him to the meeting tonight. And after the main meeting, you know, bring him down the front, and Pastor Colin will probably pray for him, you know. And so I thought, yeah, but they've sold me. They're not going to the main meeting. They're only going to the, I think he was doing some, was he teaching on the truth or something like that? He was doing a half-hour session. Pastor Colin was doing a half-hour session every night between 7:30 and 7:30 on the truth and how, you know, how we can be built up by reading the Word and things like that. And these two guys were saying, well, we're not here for the whole meeting. We won't get back to our town, you know, down to Derby. I thought, dear me, you know. You're not here for the whole meeting. You want to see Pastor Colin to pray for you. You're not willing to stay for a couple of hours, you know. And so I was saying to Pastor Clive, well, they're only here for half an hour. And then they're going home again. And he says, once my dad's finished the half-hour session, before the main meeting starts, go down the front, speak to him, and see if... I think, oh, right, okay. Just like that, you know. So... we went into the meeting. Sharon and I went into the 7 o'clock meeting, and I was looking around for these two guys. And they came in and they sat over on the far side, you know, at the front of the auditorium. And Sharon and I was just behind the leader's seats in the front row. I thought, well, anyway, we went through the half-hour session, and at the end, I sort of made my way through the gap of the chairs, and Pastor Colin was talking to somebody. I had to wait another few minutes, and then I approached him. I said, oh, Pastor Colin, I said, I've had these two gentlemen came to me this afternoon, and one of them said he spoke to you about 2 weeks ago for prayer, you know, that you pray with him personally. And he's sort of looking at me, and I don't know if he recalled the conversation or not with this gentleman. He says, oh, well, where is he? I said, well, they're standing across there. He said, well, take them, you know, take me to them. So I was able to lead Pastor Colin to them and introduced him. And Pastor Colin prayed with this guy for about 5 minutes, I think it was. I don't know if it was necessary for his sight, the gentleman's blind. But he prayed with him, and he took time out. And God just showed me about having compassion for these two guys. It's not often someone comes up to you and say, well, you know, I've been speaking to Pastor Colin. He said he'd pray for me. You know, I thought, well, okay. You know, in the natural, you think, well, who do you think you are? You know, what's up with all the other people that come under Pastor Colin's anointing, you know, that could pray for you? But it's not for us to decide that. It's to have the compassion to see upon this person's face that they come from this town, that they've only got half an hour to spare. This gentleman in his 80s that's totally blind, and he wanted to see Pastor Colin. And it's not for me to say yay or nay, but it's for me to try and make the way open. When I came back to tell them about what time, you know, that Pastor, you know, come into this meeting, they'd already disappeared out the atrium. So then I had to go and find them somewhere out in this campsite of 4,000 people. Fortunately, they hadn't gone too far, and I spotted them. And I had to go and tell them, yeah, well, if you come to the meeting between 7:30 and 7:30, I'll see if Pastor Colin will pray for you. I hadn't even asked Pastor Colin at this point. But it's just having that compassion for people. God says, you know, have compassion. And it is out this deep compassion. It's fun. Sometimes the natural just can well up, and you think, well, who's this that you want this doing, or this situation, or that situation? And God has been working on me about compassion for people. And I just want to finish, really. In Psalm 103, let's just look briefly at Psalm 103. It talks about crowning, I think. Psalm 103. It talks about praising the Lord. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. That's what he's done for you and me. He's taken us out of that pit. He's taken us from that place. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. penultimate scripture, 1 Peter 3. You know, unless we get into the Word, unless we have this relationship with Christ, we're not going to know what the things are that God's got for us, that He's equipped us with. Instructions to all believers. Verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, a word to you all. It's not my final word, this is what Peter's saying. I've got one more scripture to say after this. Finally, a word to all of you. Live together in the church in true harmony with one another. Be sympathetic towards those who are troubled. Love each other as brothers in the same family. Always be merciful and compassionate and be humble. Never retaliate in a wrong way when others wrong you. Do not insult others even if they insult you. Instead of reacting negatively to others, bless them because this is what God has called you to do. And if you bless others, you will yourselves be blessed. For it is written, anyone who desires a life full of love and goodness should refrain from speaking evil of others or in ways that will deceive them. Instead, he must turn away from all that is evil and devote himself to doing what is good and right. We need to devote ourselves in doing what is good and right. Don't worry about the person on your right or your left. Devote yourself to doing what is good and right. He must always endeavor to live at peace with others, for the Lord watches over those who live in right ways, and he listens attentively to their prayers, but he turns away from the evildoers. Let's finally look then at Colossians 3. It says, so I speak to you today, church, as God's chosen people. I speak to you today as God's chosen people. You are holy, set apart by God to belong to Him as His own children. You are dearly loved by Him and can clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Yet be patient with one another and forgive any differences that arise between you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, no matter how deeply hurt you feel. The highest virtue is love, for this keeps all these other qualities in their right place, enables you to live in unity with others. As members of one body of Christ, you have been called to live at peace with all other members. So let the peace of Christ be a guiding principle of your life. And always be thankful to God. Let's just stand a minute. Can we just stand? This is such a declaration that we should be speaking it over ourselves. Let's declare this together. As I say it, just repeat it after me. I am holy.
I am holy.
I am set apart by God.
I am set apart by God.
To belong to Him.
Belong to Him.
As His child.
As His child.
I am dearly loved.
I am dearly loved.
By Him.
By Him.
And I clothe myself.
I clothe myself.
With compassion.
With compassion.
I clothe with kindness. I clothe myself with humility.
I clothe myself with gentleness.
I clothe myself with patience.
I will be patient with one another.
And I will forgive any differences that arise between us.
Forgive me
as the Lord,
I forgive
as the Lord
forgives me.
No matter how deeply hurt
I feel.
The highest virtue is love.
For this keeps all other qualities
in their right place.
And it enables me
to live in unity
with others.
As members of one body of Christ,
we have been called
to live at peace
with all other members.
I will let the peace of Christ
be a guiding principle
in my life.
I will always be thankful to God.
I will let the truth,
the word of Christ,
live in me
and in all its richness.
Then I will be able to teach.
Then I will be able to encourage.
Then I will be able to correct
each other
with godly wisdom.
I will praise God
by singing psalms,
hymns,
and spiritual songs
with my heart
full of thankfulness
to God.
Be sure that no matter what I say or do,
I will be able to do everything
in the name of Jesus.
Because I do
what pleases him.
And I do it with thankfulness
to God,
the Father,
because of all I have received
in his Son.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give God the glory.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.